Blog Talk Radio.
I don't want a form of godliness. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. And I don't want to give him second best. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. Yeah, yeah.
I don't want a form of God.
I want God.
I want God.
All I ever,
all I ever wanted
was. Don't want to give him my second best.
I want God.
See, I want to live like him. Treat everybody
right.
And I want to look like him. Precious in his sight. Help me to love.
Forgive my enemies.
Be need to be.
Me.
I don't want a form of godliness.
I want God.
Yeah.
All I ever wanted was God.
All I ever wanted.
That you want God, not just talk, but you really want God. So I guess the question out in Blog Talk Land today is, what have you wanted for today? What have you wished for today? What have you desired today? Have you thought about the love of God today? How much he's waiting so desperately to hear from you today? If you have not spoke to him today or thought about him today, this may be a good time just to let him know, God, I'm here, and I thank you for allowing me to be here. God, I'm here, and I thank you for your presence and for protecting me today, for watching over me, for feeding me today, that I wasn't in accidents today. My body is in good health today. God, I want you. I want you. Forgive me of my sins. Draw me closer to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, this is Minister Von Dumas out of sunny San Antonio, Texas, And my ministry is the Word of God through the voice of Vaughn. Today we have a very special program. We have two special guests that's going to be joining us on our Youth Day for today. And I invite many others of you ever want to join in on Youth Day. We typically do them on Wednesdays, or we'll be doing them on Wednesdays. And we invite each and every one of you to just open your mouth. And I'm very interested to see, are you able to speak your truth? You know, sometimes we talk about a lot of stuff, but we can't express it to others. We hold it on the inside of us. And this is a broadcast that we want you to be able to just speak your truth. And so we're going to do that. Today, we always start out with just some salute to God in the form of music. We said a little prayer. And so now we're going to do our scripture for today before we dive into our conversation. Our scripture for today is coming from 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. And we're going to have Janelle is going to read 1 Chronicles starting at verse 11.
Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Lord, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations.
Amen. Amen. He is our Lord, and he is the one. He's sovereign. His sovereignty, he's going to judge us because he is the one who's going to judge us. And it doesn't say that, you know, it's a lot of places I hear people say after someone's died, and again, that was 1 Chronicles 16, 11 through 15. Pull it back up, read it. I always encourage people to get some little index cards, put the scriptures on those cards, hang them on your wall, hang them on in your car, wherever that you can look at them. That's how you get to know the Word of God, by studying the Word of God. The more you see that word, the more you're stopped by there when you're walking into another room of the house and you just read it over again. And believe me, eventually you will start to know the Word of God without even looking at that. So amen. Thank you again. So let's dive right into it and let's introduce our guest tonight. I have one of the beautiful ladies here, young girls here, I should say, in San Antonio, Texas, and I look at her often, so I can tell you this is true. She's a very pretty girl. She looks like a little doll, but it's not just the outside. You know, God created us, and he gave us in position where people look at us on the outside, and sometimes they judge us from what they see. But God says, I'm not fooled by your outside. I don't care how much you make up, look up, or whatever. He said, I look at your heart. I look on the inside of you. So on the inside of you, so you ever ran into anybody that can be beautiful on the outside, but that inside, they start to talk, and you watch their behaviors, and oh boy, it's something totally different, right? So on the inside, from the inside out, is where God changes us. And so I introduced to you Janelle Dumas, who is a beautiful young lady. She is my granddaughter, my second granddaughter. She's also she follows my lead, so she's going to be a leader. This is not the last time you're going to hear of Janelle Dumas. You're going to hear of her many times because what God has given me, I don't hold on to it. I make sure I share it with my granddaughters, my grandkids, with my son, my daughter, because when I'm dead and gone, and if they are still here, somebody's got to carry on that torch, right? So the word of God is what we do. We carry on the good news because it's a dying world. People are so lost out in the world. It's so many people that haven't even thought about God today. Hallelujah. But he's thinking about you. He's thinking about each and every one of us. And so I want to thank God today for everyone who won't even say thank you today. I thank God for his creation, for all of the ones. I look at the wars and rumors of wars that are still going on, and I was just looking at all the kids that was injured and you know, the devastation of the ones that was the fatalities
for the ones did not even make it through the latest bombing of the hospital. But it's so much going on. And I said, you know, that could be my kid. That could be my grandkid. And that's the way we have to look at life. You know, not just, oh, this happened to that. But you have to put yourself in those person's shoes. This could be you. This could have been you that's in trouble for this or incarcerated for that or in a hospital with cancer or whatever the situation may be. And then we bring those before the Lord and we say, thank you that you did protect me, that that is not me. And if that is me, that whatever sickness or circumstances that it is, that it's still going to be all right, that we're not, thank you for not allowing that to take control of me, to stop me from doing what you want to do. So Janelle is 15 years old. Again, she's here in sunny San Antonio. And then we also have, and you're going to hear from her in just a moment, we also have one of the leaders. You know, the men are the upright. They're the head of households. Men have the biggest jobs in that head of households. So we're starting out. We have young James Dimas II. James Dimas II is going to be a powerhouse. He's 12 today. But as he goes through, even at 12, it's something about him that others should be looking at and seeing. It's something about that dude right there. I don't know. It's something that attracts me to him. I listen to what he has to say. He has smart words that's coming out of his mouth. And so the things that he's not quite there yet with, because we all fall short, and none of us is quite all the way there yet. But so those things, we pray and lift each other up to get us where. That's what God wants us to do, to continue to grow. Then we can turn around and look behind us and say, I remember when I used to do this all the time. I don't do those things anymore. I just stopped doing it. I just stopped speaking in those tones or saying those words that was disgusting to God's heart. I stopped doing those, acting in those behaviors that would actually lead me into destruction. I start lining myself up with God and saying, how would God feel about this? You know, it was popular back in the day that we used to wear the wristbands that said, what would God do? What would Jesus do? Because it's something that we was reminding ourselves before we act or do something or speak, that we say, would this be approved by God? If he's standing here with me, he said he's always there. God, are you approving what I'm saying or what I'm doing? So we have, again, Janelle Dimas and James Dimas II, and we're going to talk a little bit about some things that we have discussed that I pray that we will open your heart to not be afraid to speak the things. The enemy wants to isolate us and say, don't tell nobody that. Don't tell nobody your thoughts. Keep it in yourself. That's when you know, that the enemy is playing with your heart. He's trying to throw you off course and redirect you into his pathway, into his kingdom, which is damnation. But because he said, if I can get you by yourself, I can speak to you and you won't hear nobody else's voice. So today we're just going to talk about our first topic. It's going to be about trust. It's going to be about trust. And we know that there's so many different things that in life we have to figure out a way to trust, not trust. What are we going to do? What are we going to say? And so we're going to jump right into it. After trust, we're going to talk about friends. We're going to talk about friends. I encourage anyone, the chat room is open. If anyone goes to the chat room, the call-in number is in that chat room. Also in the chat room, I have left a couple messages there that you can definitely call. Feel free to leave your message here in the chat room. I will get back with you, or I have Janelle or James come back through and answer those questions or whatever you have or whatever comments you have. You are welcome here. Again, this is the Word of God through the voice of Vaughn. And through tonight, it's going to be through the voice of Janelle and James also. Amen? Amen. 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 So let's just jump right into it. I think we're going to start with Janelle. And Janelle, first, if you could just say hello to everyone. Remember, these broadcasts, It's for anyone who may be listening real time right now. I know it will be played in on Facebook also. You can always go back into here and download these broadcasts to your MP3, to whatever, to your computers. You can listen to these today, tomorrow, 10 years from now. They'll still be here. So make sure you rate the show, tell somebody else about it, and come back often, okay? So we're going to start again with trust. So, Janelle, if you just tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your age, your school, and then we're going to jump into your first question.
Hi, everybody. My name is Janelle. And my name is Janelle. And I go to high school. I'm a ninth grader at Clark High School.
You're the second child.
I'm the second child of my mom. You know, I'm the oldest of James, so I look out for my brothers, and I look out for a lot of my siblings.
Are you excited about tonight?
I am. I'm excited.
Really?
I'm excited to talk to everybody.
Well, your first question, well, James, I'm going to let you go and introduce yourself, because when we do the questions, I'm going to let her do the answer, and then I'm going to pass it right to you immediately, okay? So tell us a little bit about yourself, James.
My name is James Dumas. I'm named after my uncle. I'm in seventh grade. I've been having a blessed life.
Amen. 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 And you are the third child of your mother.
Yes.
All right. All right. And also, we want to give a quick shout out to their youngest brother, whose birthday is today. Noah turned 7 years old today. So happy birthday, Noah.
Woo-hoo!
All right. All right. So the first question dealing with trust, it is, who would you trust to pick out a tattoo for you?
Oh.
Ever we're getting a tattoo, who would you trust to pick out a tattoo for you? There you go, Janelle.
Okay, so somebody who I would trust to pick out a tattoo for me is probably my cousin, Jamila. Jamila, I would choose Jamila to pick out my tattoo. Why?
And, yeah.
Because I feel like in her mind, I don't know, it's just something about Jamila. Like, she's mature, and I feel like she knows a lot what's best, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very important. That's a good choice. What about you, James?
My big brother.
Okay.
Me and him have a good connection, and I feel like he would give me a Bible scripture.
All right. So that's good. Remember, Carla, if you want to speak, just let us know, and we will include you in on the discussion questions also. Okay? All right. So you picked out Jamila, and you said your brother Nathaniel. So let's think about it. Would you attach to? Would you allow your mom? Would you go to your mom to pick out your tattoo?
Yes.
Really? What do you think she would pick out for you?
That's a tough question.
Do you think she would pick some cartoon character or something for you? What do you think? What about you, Janelle? Would you go to your mom to pick out a tattoo for you?
No.
And why?
Because she would probably choose something lame.
That you consider lame. That she considers as, oh, this is cool. Yeah, but something you would consider as lame, right?
She would probably put like a flower or something, or like something very cheesy.
All right. So before we go any further, again, we're talking about trust. You know, when you get a tattoo, you really got to trust somebody that most times is strangers that you don't even know, right?
Right.
So you kind of pick out some and just trust that they're going to be able to draw this and fill it in with ink that's going to be satisfactory to what you're doing, right? So very good. Do either of you plan on getting tattoos one day?
Yes, ma'am.
You do? And how many tattoos do you want? You know, they say it's a big thing.
Two, three, the last time. I'm going to do my two.
All right, all right. Well, let's go on to the next one. The next question, we'll start with James. It says, have you ever trusted in yourself and then later you figured out that maybe that wasn't the decision that you trusted yourself with that you thought was correct? Later you figured out that maybe that wasn't the best idea. Maybe that wasn't correct. Okay. So have you ever maybe said something? You decided this is my answer. This is what I'm going to say. Maybe your behavior, even out of on the basketball court, when the coaches is getting deep into you or you think doing so much, have you ever decided at that time, have you said anything or did anything that you regretted?
Of course, many times.
Yeah? You have any examples?
On the court, I would take bad shots for an example, and I would get into my own head, and I get into a shooting slump, and that affects the whole team.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes you're right. You get into your own head, and you forget that it's not an I thing, but it's a team thing, and it does affect the whole team, the way you react, your behavior. You're right. All right, Janelle.
Sometimes when I'm, you know, sometimes when I make bad decisions, which is a lot, maybe in class if I don't pay attention or I don't study, and I'm like, I think I'll know it when I'm on the test, and I end up failing the test really bad.
Yeah.
I regret my decisions. And also when I throw attitude or I give the wrong attitude to my parents or any person really, if I just throw bad attitude or if I talk about somebody or do something, you know, I always think like, man, maybe I shouldn't have done that because mm-hmm. there's always consequences. And then, yeah.
Exactly. Well, both of those are perfect examples that you have given. And remember that, goodness, that's part of life. Because life is a journey from the moment that you are conceived in your mother's womb. Way before then, God already had plans for you before you even thought about. So as we go through this journey, it's so many steps and processes and procedures that we're going through to learn different things. Even in school, you go up and go into that physical building for school or virtual school, but even way after schooling is still so much that you have to learn every day. Every day is a new day, a new test. But he says, I'm brand new. I'm right there with the new mercies to forgive you. I'm there if you repent of your sins and you really mean it. He said, I'm there to forgive you. So those things are so important. Like you said, on the basketball team, it is a team for a reason. And so we have to work together as a team. You're a big sports fan, and you saw that in all kind of different arenas of sports that, you know, if someone just goes out there and try to just called himself as I'm the only one on the team today, I'm the big chief, it doesn't work as well. They can do all they want to, but until they include everybody else, it's not going to work as a team. And then as you said, Janelle, perfect examples of things like, you know what, I'm going to make it up on the spot. I got this. First of all, because you cut from my cloth, so I've been where you're talking about. Yes, I've been there. I just figure it out when I get there, and it's almost like the Holy Spirit that I have invited to come and live inside of me says, you know, you're on your own. Let's see what you got then. You say you got this? Go ahead. What you got? And then you're standing there in the flesh by yourself. You don't know what it is that you have. You don't know the answers. You don't have anything that's going to motivate anybody. And so we stop immediately. And you know what? Even as preachers, as a preacher, you will find different people. If they get up there, I would never try to speak nothing into anyone's life without the Holy Spirit speaking for me. Because if I put myself out there, my flesh out there, Nobody wants to hear what my flesh has to say, you know, but it's an opportunity for the word of God to be spoken and to penetrate into our lives and make a difference. So if he leaves you out there by yourself, it's because you haven't done your due diligence to get there. But, yeah, it is always times that we figure out something. And if the time to learn how to correct those things is now, because that's what happened in relationships. With mothers and daughters, grow up grown women can't stand each other. Fathers and sons will not even speak to each other, and they're grown. It started somewhere. That seed was planted a long time ago, and they never decided, you know what? I'm gonna dig this here up, and we're not gonna let this seed grow because it's mature into hatred, and we can't do that. But that's what happens, and then they go off and they get married to somebody. And they end up saying the wrong thing, and you hurt your partner's feelings, or you say the wrong thing, or then you start doing the wrong things. And before you know it, there is a divorce that is happening, and the family is split because someone has stepped out in the marriage, or someone is always saying, being dogmatic and just pounding the other one with things that, you know, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. And, you know, the flesh is not even built to even take those things. And so we get built up. So when you see yourself making those mistakes now, just like others do, now is the time to stop and say, I bet you I'll get them next time. I had a friend of mine was just reminding me not too long ago. He said in school, and that was a time where you could get paddled in school. And he said that, you know, he would do the same thing. He would come in there, hadn't studied, hadn't did what he needed to do, and he would get a paddling. And he said he had decided that was enough. No one else was hitting him again. So he went home and he started to study, and he came back and he did this test and he aced the test, and said the teacher was just like, okay, you know, I know you didn't, so let me look what else you got. And he got an A, and the teacher's like, what happened? What did you do? You know, who did this for you? And he was like, no, you were sitting right here as I was taking the test. I studied, and this is my result. And the teacher was so shocked, but was also happy. They even hugged them and said, you know, I knew you could do it, you know, keep doing it. And that made him feel so good that he wanted to, first, not get a paddling. And then second, you know, he made himself proud. He made his teacher proud. The kids in his class, he said, was all shocked because they kind of knew him as, he don't study, or he's going to be an F student. Oh, he's never going to be anything in life. But he wanted to show them to know it's inside of me too. Just because where I used to be, what I used to do, doesn't mean that that's always what I'm going to do. I'm still going to grow. I'm still going to change. And here it is. And so we all get to that point and we say, I don't want to be caught in this lie no more. I don't want to be known as a liar. I don't want to be known as a cheater, you know, whatever it is. I don't want to be a curser. I don't want to be a stealer, whatever it is. And we have to decide that we're going to make those changes. So, yeah, we've all have had some trust issues. We've all been there where we later figure out that maybe this wasn't the right thing. And then you start out by saying something real bad, and it turns into now you're grounded 4 weeks, and now, you know, your marriage partner won't even talk to you. And you think about, well, if I had to just not say that, I could have just did the right thing, you know. This would have been over with that day, but now it just draws it out. But when the enemy tells you to tell that lie or to speak out or to do that behavior, he don't show you that when you do this down the road, you're going to be incarcerated. When you do this, you're going to be divorced because of what you're doing right now. No, he don't tell you that. He just puts it in your head and tell you, yeah, do it. Say this, say that. Give them a piece of your mind. We don't have any mind. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. We don't have any time to be giving anybody a piece of our mind. The next question, we're going to start with James. It says, do you trust yourself or do you trust others to make decisions for you? When you have a decision that needs to be made, maybe if you're deciding, you know what, I know I'm not supposed to go this far when I go outside to play, can you trust yourself to make the right decisions? Or do you just peer pressure your friends? Well, come on, it's only going to be for a minute. Well, everybody's stealing this, or everybody's going over there to the store. Everybody is going to this party.
Well,
well, all the time, that's gonna be an option, and that's definitely not Jesus speaking. That's obviously who's against us. That the enemy. So he's putting thoughts in your head to go against that rule and go against everything that you were told. So, yeah, there has been some times that I have thought about it, but other than that,
it's always going to be there, and it's always going to have to be a decision that we have to take time to see, because sometimes the decisions can be hard, can't it, Janelle? You feel like, oh, but this is going to be so much fun if I do go to the party, right? If I do sneak and do this or whatever. It just seems like everybody else is having fun but me. But again, you got to remember, what's down the road? What's the consequences? You used that word earlier. What's the consequences of this, of my actions today? How long am I going to be paying for that, that choice that I make today? Rules are there for a reason. Am I... the police going to get me because I did something bad? Even, you know, President, our ex-President Trump is still in court now, going to court because of things. There's rules for everybody, all age groups. As long as you're alive, there's rules that you have to abide by. So what about yourself? As far as trusting yourself, or do you make decisions, let others make decisions for you?
I feel like I've done both.
Because
There's been a lot of times where my friends have told me things, or there's things that I wanted to do and I didn't listen to myself and I just listened to others instead. And some were not good decisions. And I think that I maybe have to start trusting in myself more, because a lot of things, they're just not worth it to get in trouble for, or to, like, face those consequences. It's just not worth it. So, you know, you got to trust in yourself, trust in God, and let him mold your path and lead you to greatness.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because that's what his plan is. His plan is to give you hope. His plan is to give you a future. His plan is for you to make a difference here in this earth, and is that difference is going to edify the kingdom, the heaven. So that's his plans. But the enemy, who was kicked out of heaven, the enemy who had all kind of beauty and had a position in music, that's why he gets so many people in music, because all the dirty lyrics and all the stuff, and females, you know, especially, would get caught up by the beat. I love the beats, and I always listen to lyrics. I'm a lyrical person, though. But they'll get so caught up, and the lyrics can be talking about you like a dog, calling you all kind of things and names and the nasty things that you should, can be so smooth that you're tearing it up, you know, and you know, different things like that. The enemy is in control of all of that and all of that, not just out here in the streets. He will pull and walk himself right into a building of a church, get on the piano, get in the choir, get wherever that he can get the most attention, can be living, doing all the wrong things. His behavior can be exhibiting all kind of traits against the word of God. But because he can sing, it sounds good, it tickles our ear, or because, you know, he's popular, we know his name, or he can play that piano, but is he living according to the word of God? Is he truly a child of God? Has he truly repent of all of his sins and turn from his wicked ways so that God can heal the land inside of him and all around him? But we'll get so excited, we'll just leave it there. And God is not pleased with that. God looks on the inside of our hearts, and he sees what it is. But yes, it's been many times that we do different things. We are influenced by others, and we influence others. And I have things, even today, is this one girl. I try to go back and repent of my sins, and I try to go to those people and ask for forgiveness for things that I did. But this one girl, I don't know where this, you know, this woman is now. We're women. But when we were girls in the sixth grade, I talked her into doing some things, and it was not right. And really, he's talking to a lot of the things. As a matter of fact, I used to have her bring me candy bars. Don't you come in here tomorrow with all my candy bars. Don't you come in here tomorrow if it was these little sticks you stick off in this Kool-Aid or stuff and kind of dump a pick stick or something. And she used to bring it to me all the time. Well, it was went farther. It didn't stop there. So it went farther. We went to Brown Elementary School. And one day, I told her to come home with me. And she said, no, I can't go home with you, Lorelia, because, you know, my mom will get me. I got to get on my bus and go to my house. And I said, well, we'll call your mom when you get to my house and tell her where you're at. She's like, no, I can't do that. I talked her into it. We're going to have fun. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play with my neighbors. We're going to do all this cool stuff. And her name was Glenda. Glenda Dale. Glenda got on the bus with me and went to my house. Can you imagine how afraid her mom was when she didn't get off of the bus over on the other side of town where she lived at? Her mom don't know where her child is at. And we finally called her mom, and her mom was glad to hear that she's safe, but her mom was so upset, of course. She hung up the phone. Her mom drove from the other side of town over to my house so quick. That woman pulled up, and she went off on Glenda, and she spanked Glenda right there in front of me and my neighbors. Glenda was, you know, of course, she was crying her heart out. Her mom had a belt, and she threw her in the car, and they took off. And I feel bad because I caused that. I did that. And so when we went back to school, she wouldn't even look at me. She didn't really, you know, I never told nobody. If you were outside in my neighborhood and you saw it happen, then, you know. But other than that, I never went back and told anybody. I never told anybody about what had happened because I wasn't trying to embarrass her any further or anything like that. But she learned a lesson, too, to not allow people to just influence her and to stand on the decisions that God gave her parents for a reason, and those rules are in place for a reason, either whether she understand them or not. So one of the callers said I was wrong for that. And and they're right. That's why, yeah, it has. It's been a little wait, and I pray that one day I get that opportunity to see her face to face. And just to tell her that I was wrong. I was so wrong for that. But that corrected something, not just in her, to not listen to, be persuaded to do things by others, but also in me, that you can't do people like that. You can't treat people like that. So, of course, I never asked her to bring me anything else. Nothing. I never asked her to bring me anything else. She did eventually start to speak to me again. You know, we could laugh a little bit here and there, but we never got that closeness back that we had had because it was just like a knife. I had cut that. She had bled from that, not literally, but figuratively. I had cut that thing. I had messed the relationship up. So your mouth, things of your tongue, in the book of James, the New Testament tells us that no man can control the tongue. It says we can control a big old horse by putting the bridle in its mouth and the way that we steer it. We can control a big ship, you know, can be out on the ocean. We can turn the steering wheel in which way we want it to go. But no man can tame the tongue. He said only God can tame the tongue. So our prayers has to be including, God, control my tongue today. God, control my tongue today. So when I get up, I always ask them, God, I want to give my body. I give my body to you as a living sacrifice. Use my hands the way you want to. Use my feet. Use my eyes to see what you want me to see. My ears to hear something supernatural today. And God, be the guard of my tongue. Be the guard of my tongue, for I cannot control my tongue. Amen. Amen. So we've all been there, and we learn from those. So don't forget that it's a learning lesson, learning lesson. Let's move on to the next one, Janelle. Our next one, what situation do you find it hard to trust others in? And then what about yourself? What situations are harder for you? Excuse me, are harder for you to trust yourself. What situations do you find it hard to trust others in? Do you trust them with your faith in God? Do you trust others? I know in your school and everywhere, it's not just golf, but it is, I forgot what they used to call it back when Ty was a teenager, the little raccoon people. They walked around with these raccoon tails. Was it? What is it now that your people, the satanic people, they yeah. So tell me, what situation would you trust them, or what would make it hard to trust a person that is following in that satanic religion right now?
Definitely the way I grew up and the way how I always heard, like, the word of God around me.
Mm-hmm.
Just hearing something other than that is going to be a little uncomfortable naturally. But also the way how nothing, like everything they worship has nothing good.
Yeah.
It's nothing good. There's no reward for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's no peacefulness. It's all just evil. And, you know, when I hear how they talk, and it's like, oh yeah, well, he has shown me better. He makes me feel better about myself. And,
mm-hmm.
but there's never an example. And,
yeah.
you know, it's just hard to believe something that doesn't have an example, or as you can visually see,
yeah.
that it's not good. It's not positive.
I know we were talking one time, and you had said, and one of them said, well, you know, I used to cut myself or something, and
right.
and God didn't stop me from cutting myself. And I guess so my question was, well, how is Satan stopping you from cutting yourself? Because if you're not cutting yourself anymore, you're doing something even worse now that he talked you into doing. And don't think that God wasn't there patiently waiting, baby, why are you destroying yourself? I love you. That's why he spoke to us in his word. It's all there. But as far as trust, what if one of them came to you and said, you know what, Janelle, you're waiting for your dad to pick you up today. Hey, I'm going to stand out here and talk to you today. Or, you know, will you walk over here to get something to eat with me? Or, can you trust me? Me and my friends are just hanging out today. We're not going to talk about the satanic stuff, but can you come over here and have a conversation with us today? Can you trust if their word is true in situations like that?
I want to say maybe,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I would. I don't think I would go and hang out with or surround myself around the people, you know, because I want them to hear me out and I want them to hear what I got to say about God
mm-hmm.
or about my beliefs. And if they're not going to hear me out, why would I still hang around you
right.
and surround myself with your energy?
What about you, Jane? What situation do you find it hard to trust others?
Trusting
you or trusting somebody else. Everyone at your school or everyone, even let's just do with family. When you're at your family's house, do you trust?
Oh, yeah, of course.
When you go to Thesis house or when you go to Florida for the summer
mm-hmm.
and you're around so many different people, and do you trust anything that they ask you to do or tell you to do?
I mean, yeah, because half of the time, talking to my parents, they're respectful. Of course, I trust them.
Mm-hmm. But what about kids?
I mean, I know them, so, and I know that they both have beliefs. Yeah, okay.
Okay. And we will learn, that, and there are times that you can, and that is your thing, but you will learn that even as you go through life, people say that they know Jesus, but you can't find
yes,
him.
Right.
You can't find Jesus in there. That you may be the only because we are a Bible. So when I, wherever I go, whatever I do, wherever I speak, somebody's reading, just like they're picking up a Bible or opening their phone to the Bible. Somebody is reading everything I say and everything I do, because I'm an example. God said He's using me here on earth to spread the good news, tell people the good news. So it's like I have a salt shaker in my hand, and I'm just sprinkling God's good news everywhere I go. Now, when I get upset and I need to pull myself over to the side, over to the sidelines, when I have to pull myself over to the sidelines because I don't want to, or I go in my prayer closet because I don't want to start giving some bad news because I'm upset. I'm not a cursor, praise the Lord. So I don't want to be out here cursing. And they say, wait a minute. She the one said that she loves God. She the one said that she, you know, how can you do? You can't love God out of the same mouth, open your mouth and I love God, and out of the same mouth, over that same tongue, you're cursing out somebody. You can't. So it's just like I come to you and I kiss you, but at the same time I'm kissing you, I'm calling you all kind of names. You'd be like, get back, what's this about? Are you going to love me or you're going to hate me? So it can't be both ways. It can't be both ways. And so we have to watch ourselves, that even those that we love, even those that are around us, because they say, even the preachers, the teachers, you got to match the word. My mom always said, take that word and put it to, go to the word of God, go to the Bible, and you make sure that that is what God said, not just what man is saying, what woman is saying, what boy or girl is saying. But you look for it yourself. You ask God himself. So lest you get confused and it start making sense to you, but that's not what God is saying. But it made sense. Oh, yeah, they made that make sense, but it's still not true. So we have to watch even those that are around us. Everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It says that our Father in heaven will look at them and say, remember, he's looking at the inside of you. He's looking at your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, when you open your mouth, it'll start to speak. If you're cursing, it's because you got cursing off in your heart. Whatever it is that's in your heart, when you open your mouth and start to speak, it'll come out. It will come out. It will come out. So we are the only Bible that somebody is reading today, so we have to be careful to make sure I should be able to see the Christ inside of you. You shouldn't have to come up. I shouldn't have to run to people and say, oh, I'm a minister. Oh, I'm a child of God. Oh, I'm a beloved child of God. No, no, no. It should show by the behavior, my behavior, by the words I speak, the life I live. My mom used to sing a song. It said, may the life I live speak for me. May the truth that I tell speak for me. I don't want to die and somebody standing over my casket lying, you know, she never cursed. You know, she was such a good person. She did all this. No, God knows the truth. No, she fell short in this area. She did this. She did this. But the good thing about it, that if you get the closer you get to God, he will bring those things in, on your conscience. And you'll start to just feel like, oh, my God, I need to go make this right. This feels so bad what I did. Like my situation with Glenda, you know, that he just laid it on my heart that you need to correct that. You need to get that right. And so as he puts that and tug on your heart to ask for forgiveness, repent of those things, never to do it again. So I was in the sixth grade when that happened. I went through the rest of my schooling, and still to this day, I'm conscious of that because I don't want to ever influence somebody else to do something that they don't want to do or didn't want to do. And they make a wrong decision, It has happened again in my life, but not to that severity, But because I'm human, it has happened. Grandpa will tell you of a time that he did not want to leave the house, and I wanted something, and I kept bugging him to go get this for me, and he did, and something went down, and he almost went to jail. And, you know, I thought about that, too. He didn't even want to go. He didn't even want to leave the house. hints of different things. So not to the severity of a Glinda, but a situation like that still did, you know. Yeah. All right. Huh? What is it? Your cousin. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're moving right along. Who do you think really loves you?
I think who really loves me could be my mom,
mm-hmm.
my dad,
mm-hmm.
my grandmas,
mm-hmm.
and my grandpas. Definitely my cousins, my brothers, and that's it.
I think Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That too.
My mom, my grandfather, my grandmother, my cousins, and
you think your dad?
Yeah, and most certainly my uncle, my great grandma.
Awesome. Yeah, your great-grandmother, which is Big Mama.
Mm-hmm.
You think she loves you?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Ah.
Oh, Lord.
And I hope the one has a
family. Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I know that there are, it's different types of love. First of all, it's a love that a husband and wife has shares between them. It's a love that a mother has for their child. It's a love that you just have with your friends, you know. So it's certain types of love, but God loves us unconditionally because just like parents even sometimes can, the kids can grow up and get into all kind of things of running away. The parents would get tired of it. But they still love you. They still love you. They may even have to put you out of the house. They may even have to stay away from you for a minute because it's so many parents I talk to that their teenage kids are strung out to a point that now, you know, they're coming in house stealing to go sell to get fentanyl or to get some kind of drug to medicate that condition that they have. And so the parents may have to get them out, get away from them because you're going to destroy the whole family. And so if it's your baking bread, we're talking about a little leaven in the bread will spoil the whole thing. If you're making bread or making a cake and you take a little bit of stool from the bathroom or urine and you pour just a little bit in, it was just a little bit got off in the cake. But you just keep on making that cake and bake it. I want you to know that whatever that negative thing that went off in there is going to, as it's cooking, it's going to reach out and it's going to touch everything about the goodness on there, and it's going to make a negative effect on all of it. So sometimes when we're destroying ourselves and we're in a family or we're in a marriage or we're on a job or we're in a school, we have to expel you from school. We have to throw you all out of school for a while. We have to get rid of you, fire you off of that job, or we have to move you out of the family to get yourself together, because if not, you will destroy the whole cake, the whole unit. So, yes, there are different types of love, and people love in different ways. I have cousins that, yeah, if you ask them today, do they let you love on him? Like, yeah, that's my cousin. Yeah, I love her. But do they love me in the way that if something went down, that they would have my back, or would they call the police on me? Would they lie on me? Yeah, they have. Do I have that kind of friend that would stick with me through my hard times, my good times, my sad times? Or would they take my personal information and go out and tell everybody, you know what happened to Vaughn? Let me tell you what's going on, girl. And so, but they still say they love me. They still say, you know, yeah, that's my friend. Of course I love her. So it depends on how you receive love and how you give love. If you can, then you look at it and say, do they really love me? Because talk is cheap. And just because you're in a, I know you from this long or whatever, it doesn't mean anything. If something go down, are they going to point the finger, he did it, he did it? Or would they say, no, we did it. We did it. We're sorry. We repent. Or would they just point the finger at you? Love is an action word. It's not just a being word that's just there. Love will present itself. It'll show itself in the situations that you're in. So always think about that. When you're thinking about who do you think really loves you, it will show. God gives us unconditional love. He said, I don't care what you did. Even he was, when Jesus was on the cross and it was two thieves beside him that they was hanging to, they had decided they need to give their lives for the things that they had did. Some theologians said they had murdered, they had, whatever their sins were, now they were having to give their lives, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So the wages is what you get paid, your paycheck. So if you're sinning, for every sin, you got to pay something for it. And he said the only acceptable method of payment is death, is death. So the wages of sin is death. So thank God that he loves us unconditionally, so he can say, but if you repent, come to me, repent of those sins, not saying I'm sorry, because you're going to do it again. But if you repent from those sins, turn from those wicked ways, turn and say, I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing that Glenda thing again. Turn from your ways. Seek my face. Seek my righteousness. If you seek me and you repent of those, I will take those sins that you're supposed to die for, and I will throw them in a sea of forgetfulness, and I remember them no more. So when God calls us home, and we all got to see him face to face, one each other, I can't go with you, you can't go with me, we may all die together, but we're going to see God face to face individually, and he's going to go back everything that you've ever thought, he's going to bring back to your remembrance. But the things that you have repented of, you don't have to explain that to God. He said, I don't even know what you're talking about. I've thrown that in the sea of forgiveness. And no, we're not doing it. You never did that anymore. And so, no, there it goes. So we love can be a really thing. That's why so many divorces that we get into, little, especially in young adolescents and teenagers and young adults, and we think we fall in love because that feeling we get and we just want to be around her or him. And oh, you get into all of this and you get these soul ties by jumping into sexual relationships, or you give all your family history to them and all of these things, and you find out that, this is the devil himself. What did I ever love about you? Oh, you're going about your ways, and then, no, that was not who it was. And you find out that years later you've married somebody else, and you felt that way many times. And so love can be a tricky thing, but it's a growth process. Has trusting ever hurt you? Have you ever trusted in anything or anybody? And maybe it's like we was just talking about in relationships, you know, you trust and you get hurt. I can remember in the eighth grade, and it was this female that, for some reason, I don't know why, but she didn't like me, but it was okay. But she was really kind of a bully, and she was kind of from a rough neighborhood. And so my friends were telling me, watch when we were in the cafeteria, and they said, watch when she comes in here, how she looks at you. And I turned around one day just to see, and she was mean mugging me. I mean, she just looked like she was going to rip me apart. So I said, whoa, you know, this girl, I got to get ready for her, because I don't know what the deal is going to be. So I got ready. I had some things on me to protect me. And so when she came in that next day, she did it again. So I turned around and looked at her. And so when she saw me looking at her, she stepped out of line and come something towards me. So, of course, I got up out of my seat, and I went towards her. And I took what I had, and I scared the mess out of her, because I guess she didn't think that I had a weapon. And so it just went from there. She stopped in her tracks. She shut up because I had just swept into her neck. And anyway, we finally came to break it up, okay? And but what had happened as the trust, has trusting ever hurt you? I was a good student. I was from a nice family. So it was kind of not expected. So I didn't want to get caught with this knife that my brother Johnny had gave me, my brother. I didn't want to get caught with that knife. So I had it in this glass case. And so I gave it to who I thought was my best friend. My best friend. One of my best friends. We'd already in the eighth grade talking about we're going to be in each other's weddings. We're going to do this and that. And I gave it to her. I slid the whole little glass case with the knife in there. I slid it to her, and I said, hold on to this until after school. She said, okay, I got you, yeah. We leave the cafeteria. I go to the office and everything, and I tell them, call my mom. And they're talking about, I can't believe that she says that you had a knife. And so they was really on her side. Because she was kind of rough and tough and stayed in trouble. And so they were really kind of wanting to believe her. But she was very shocked and scared and was, no, she pulled a knife on me. She put it to my neck. I leave there because I told them, just call my mom. That's what you do for me. Call my mom. She'll handle it when she get here. I go back to my English class with Miss Stack. I'm sitting in there, and all of a sudden, here comes the principal. Not a vice principal, walks into the classroom, and he says, so did you have a knife, LaRoya? And I said, no. He said, you sure? Well, what is this? I look over there at my best friend. She has went to him and gave him my knife. Yeah. So I look over there at her, and she's just crying. I'm sorry. I'm going to beat you up. That really we never was the same after that because that hurt me. I wouldn't have, me in my situation, I would not have given it. I would have just.
Wait, why did she give it to the principal?
I don't know. She said she was scared and she gave it to the principal. So, okay, that's fine. But different things, those who hurt, again, we go back to relationships with people, maybe with your boss or in the outside with kids you're playing or in marriages or whatever it is. There are times that even your family, you think you can trust in them. And the Bible says, trust in God alone is for us when you get to that. He's the only one that will never talk about you, forsake you. He will never leave you. He's not going to go and put your business in the street. So it is God. So anytime that we are putting our trust in something or someone, there is a chance that we can get hurt. Even those who love us may not always be able to do what it is that they promised they was going to do or still their flesh wrapped around these bones. So they can still make mistakes or do things or say things that can hurt us. And so, yes, trust has, I have been hurt by trusting different ones and different people. Anything on that?
Has trusting ever hurt? Maybe when I have trusted, it definitely could be friends,
mm-hmm.
because I've been in that same situation a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be my brothers.
Yeah.
Especially James. Because there's a lot of times where we were in big situations. And James may have, if I had told James something, he would, they would bring him up there like, James, do you know anything about this?
Mm-hmm.
And James would be like, yeah, Janelle did do that. Janelle did this and that.
Yeah.
And seriously, it really got me in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, it was bad. I didn't even live there anymore, but
yeah.
It was bad. Sometimes I do wish, even if it was bad, I do wish that, and I reflected, I've self-reflected,
mm-hmm.
and I've known what it was, and I've known, and I've been smart enough now to acknowledge, like, what I did was not the smartest, which can go back to the other questions. And, yeah, but it would have made it better if he had said anything.
So you think it is. You think it was. And that's a good thing about very, very, very good point there, because been there, too. What if the girl hadn't turned in the knife? Would I have kept that knife and carried it through the rest of my life as a knife cutter or doing things? We think it is, but God is not going to let us do anything that's going to separate us from him. Even though it may hurt right now, he's not caring about our hurt. He can always comfort us and heal us. But he's worrying about you getting thrown aside and decide, you know what, he lied to me, and I have to do it again. I learned from that situation with the knife situation, who am I to tell somebody else to sin for me? Who do I think I am? That I'm going to tell somebody else to lie for me. Who do I think I am that I'm just going to say, girl, lie, say this here. Now, I know that's pulling you away. It's like taking a newborn baby and taking it away from the mom. And the baby's crying, but I'm just like, no, don't go over there to mom. Yeah, we'll go back to it in a minute. God is like that mom, and we're like that trying to influence somebody. You know, no, come and do this. Lie for me. I learned that I must, that is so selfish of me. And people, even really big now, it's for narcissists, that you think only about yourself, and I'll get in trouble, and I'll be, the light will be shown on me when I'm hiding in the darkness. The Bible says anything done in the dark will one day be brought to the light. That used to scare me as a teenager. So I used to make sure that I used to think about his word all the time. Anything I think I'm hiding, he's going to bring it so everybody knows about it. And then it also tells me it may not happen today. It may happen 10 years, 20 years, but it's going to, you're going to be identified. That's why you see people now that in the politics or whatever, big jobs now are preachers, and they're just like, you know what? Now we're finding out stuff that's been going on 20 years. A pastor, I think, and or who has the title of a pastor, don't mean he was called by God, but I think he had been molesting somebody in Houston for 20-something years, and at 16 she had a baby by him. So he was hiding it all of that time, but it's brought to the light. So whatever it is that you don't know if God's going to call you home or not before you repent of that stuff, is a lot of stuff in there. It can get deep. I know, yeah. And you think nobody else knows about it. You think nobody else knows about it. You think that is over, that is done, that is swept under that rug. This rug right here, you can sweep a lot of stuff under there, but eventually it's going to be a bump, and you walk across there, and somebody's going to feel it's something under this rug, and they're going to raise that rug, and here comes your darkness crawling up out of there. He's crawling up out of there. You thought, I thought, did I take you to lie about that? You know? No, you didn't. I can't believe you didn't lie. That's what I said to that girl. I can't believe you gave the principal this. But she had to get that off of her. She's not going to separate herself from the truth just because I choose. Who do I think I am that I tell her, don't be a truthful person anymore. Lie for me. That's just like telling Glenda, don't go home to your mom. Come home with me. Who do I think I am? Mm-mm. Not going to let it go by, because that's going to get you. If you get away with it now, you're going to continue to try it and try it and try it and try it. So you might as well go in and face the consequences, because once people know your sins and they know that you're hiding behind them, it's hard to trust somebody. I know somebody now that is just a liar, just a liar, just a liar. And she will look you in your face, and she just lie about silly stuff. She just make up stuff. You can just be in a normal conversation. She just start making up lies. It's just like, the enemy has her so wrapped up in that she's in her own little city almost. And then it's offensive to me. I want to slap her because I want to say, who are you to think that I'm going to believe this? Do you think people are really believing you? Because we don't call you out, do you think we believe that? You know, it's just, but the enemy has just said, it's just like you take a shovel, and mama said you dig a hole in the dirt, And that's your first lie. And then somebody questioned you about that lie. So now you got to dig a little deeper because you got to tell another lie to make up, cover up that first lie. And before you know it, the hole is so big that you can stand out in the hole, and now it's covering you up, and you're still lying. Yeah, they said that the devil is the father of lies. That's what he does. Anytime you're telling a lie, he and his demonic little friends are just cheering. Yes, it's like they've won the Super Bowl because they want you to separate. He is trying to get from you. He's mad because he don't get the right to sit in heaven. He don't get the right to be beside Jesus anymore. He doesn't get that right. He destroyed that right. So he don't want you to have it either. So he'll do anything. He'll plant any seed in your mind to make sure you don't get it either. So if you have a good thought, he'll come and steal, kill, and destroy from that too. He'll just take it right from you. So yeah, it does. It is trusting will hurt you, and most of the time we look at the people who told on us, but we need to look at ourselves and say, you little liar, how did I tell you to lie for me? How did you, you know, and you do, and that's self-inventory. I have to look in the mirror. I do my self-inventory in the mirror so I can look at myself and say, what have I lied about today? Or what have I procrastinated about today? God said do it, and I said, okay, I'll do it in a minute, and just never did get it done. But it's good to look in the mirror at yourself and say, you little liar, you little thief. How did you do it? There's a lot of commercials now, too. They got the person. I saw Common, the little music guy or whatever. He's got one out, too, about a cell phone. But he's looking at himself, and his stuff is talking to him. He's talking back to himself. And there's a lot of different ones. A girl about going to nursing school doing that, talking to herself, and the stuff is talking back. Because if we don't talk to ourselves about some of these situations, we'll start raising up that rug, trying to sweep it up under that rug. Yeah. And eventually, yeah, you may get one lice in your head today, but let it grow and you don't do anything about it. Before you know it, you're going to have a head full of lice.
That's what I had.
Yeah. You had lice?
when I was little.
Oh, lice.
Oh, look.
Yeah, it's really unusual that you would have lice because our hair is so dry. Like your hair is so dry, they live in oil. That's why people usually with oily scalps get lice.
And when I was little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna keep my eye on you now, just in case they decide to return. All right. We're moving right on. Enjoying ourselves. I want to invite anyone. We're going to be doing this every Wednesday, probably at the 7 o'clock hour. The call-in number, if you're a guest and would like to call in, is 563-999-3699. Or again, if you're just logging in on your computer, you can go into the chat room. You can ask questions, whatever you need to do over there. But I want to hear from you. I want you to speak your truth. And it may not be able to speak your truth at school or may not even be in your home, but I want you to feel comfortable that you can come on here and speak your truth, even if you don't give your name, okay? Or if you want to be somebody else when you come on here, change your name, but just speak your truth. So let's keep it going here for our second half. We have like 15 minutes left here, but let's keep it going. It says, do you trust God? And if so, what do you trust him with? That's a good one.
I think I trust God. Yes, I do trust God, obviously. I think I trust him, or I do trust him with my life, and I trust him with my spirit in the afterlife.
Amen.
I trust God in my relationship with my friends, basketball, and my family, the friendship and relationships.
Also, my decisions.
Yeah. A good one with the, all of that was very good. But with the decisions, very good, because even when the decision is that you told him the lie and he told on you, do you trust God that because he said, God said, that the truth is what's going to set you free. He said there's liberty in truth. Do you trust him that there is truth, that the truth will set you free, even though you may have to pay the consequences? You get in big trouble because of it. Okay. But did that pass? Are you still in trouble for that now? This too has passed. You paid for your sins, those consequences. Hopefully you repented so you don't have to go back telling nobody to lie. Don't even tell yourself to lie. But do you trust God with those decisions? And sometimes we have to continue to build up on that day after day, moment after moment for sometimes. It was a young lady speaking on a show I was watching. It was a group of people that was in a circle, and they was talking about different things. And she was saying that one day she got a call that her father had had a heart attack. And she said that he was in a coma for 4 days. And the doctors kept telling the family, we don't know if he's going to live. You know, prepare yourself that he may die. And she said that she was just crying out to God, saying, you've got to fix this. You've got to turn this around. You've got to heal. I can't deal with my dad, losing my dad right now. You've got to fix this. You've got to make this work. And like she said, in her situation, it did turn around. God did heal him. But she said it made her think about all these people that it didn't turn around like that. Their mothers, their fathers did die. Their grandmothers, grandfathers did die in a horrible situation. Their sons did drown when other people almost drowned, but their sons did drown. Do you trust God that is still, he's doing what's best for his plan according to, he created all of this. Can we still trust him? Some people are still not. One girl used to work with me, and she said, I don't celebrate my birthdays anymore because my birthday is on my grandmother's birthday, and I don't celebrate it because God took my grandmother from me, and so I don't even celebrate my birth anymore. And, you know, and so, but the enemy will make it sound good to you and make you start to convince yourself, be mad at God. That's what it is. But it's just like this. Is this your home where you're at now? This is Granny's home, right?
Right.
Your father has allowed you to come and spend some time with me, right?
Right.
What if I locked up the door, locked up the windows, turned off the telephone, and he comes to get you, and I won't let him in, and I refuse to let you out? It would be wrong, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be kind of creepy? You're right. That's scary. You are so correct.
Yeah,
that's scary. You said, oh, that's kind of scary. That is right. Because I'm not your mother. You're not my child.
Right.
You're JD's children. So we are the children of God. God created us. I'm not James's. I'm just, you know, James was just loaned to me. God allowed James to come and live with me, for me to give birth to James. James Marquis Dumas the first. That's what God allowed. He loved me enough to trust me enough that I would raise LaMeca Frangrell and Janelle Marquette. But I'm not their original. I'm not the creator of them. That's God. He said, I have gone to prepare a place for them. He said, now where I am, they've got to come to me soon. They got to come back home. They got to come back home. So when my son drowned, one of the first things I heard God tell me is, thank you for trusting me. He said, that's my son. Thank you for taking care of him there. Thank you for understanding. Now I'm calling him home. So when some people are going through different situations and we're praying that they survive, we're praying for that they get out of the stuff and not get strung out here on the street corners and all of the things. But when God says, I'm calling you, it's time for you to come home, Janelle. It's time for you to come home, James. It's time for you to come home, Vaughn. It is nothing we can do. God showed me, I used to ask God, I said, you know, I don't, you know, did James suffer when he drowned? And he said, it was a beating. It was a beautiful thing. He said, when I called his name, he forgot all about that he was swimming. He forgot all about, oh, my mom, my sisters, my brothers. He said, he just saw me and he just ran to me. He just ran to me to be in my arms because there's a, he, that we're going to, we recognize the father for who he is. So it's not that James didn't love me and his brother and his sister and his niece. No, it wasn't that he, you know, but here versus him? No, it's no comparison. So he ran into the safety of his arms, and he trusted God. I know you'll take care of my mom's heart, my sister and brother's heart. I know they're going to miss me. I'm going to miss them too, but I'm home. I'm home. And that's the same thing. You would try to find a way. If JD was out there, but I'm here to get you. I don't care how many windows I have bolted up and turn off all the lights. When it's time to go, JD's going to get through that door some kind of way to come and get you. If he had to break down this window, he may apologize later. Mom, I'm sorry. I had to break your door down. I had to break out the window, but the kids was in there. No one answered. So when God calls us, we've got to go. We don't have a choice. So when we look at people who are sick or who die instantly, we have to see it in that aspect. The God is just calling them home, and it's nothing you can do. You've got to let go. You got to release and let go. And it can be selfish for us. Like, I know your body's full of cancer. I know that you're, you know, your head is almost falling off, but just stay here with me. No. God said to come on home. We don't, because when they're walking around here with their head hanging, you're going to talk about them. Are you going to give me a hug if my head is hanging off like this? You're not going to hug me. Okay, what if you know? You know, it feels this. We can be pretty messed up, and you're not gonna. You may say, "Yeah, I love you, Granny," but you know, stay over there. Yeah. Y'all going to Granny's home? No, that's okay. We're not going. You know. So when God says, "Come on home," it's because He requires and is waiting on us to come back and be with Him for eternity. Eternity. Amen. Amen. So yes, we trust God, and we trust Him with all of us, and we're every day we ask Him, God, help me to trust you more. Help me with my unbelief. Help me to trust you more. The last one says, where do you reach when you need help, when you need hope, when you need understanding? Who do you reach out to, or where do you reach?
I reach out to Jesus, one that I pray to, also my dad. I ask for advice and what I do, and yeah, that's it.
For me, whenever I need help and I need somebody to reach out to, I definitely go to Nate, my big brother, or I would go to Granny.
I don't know if that's true.
That would be true.
Okay. You've needed help before. You've been hopeless before. Have you came to me?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
Maybe my mom.
I'm sorry. Maybe my mom. Okay.
Jamila. And God.
Yeah. I tell you, we do have to be careful, though, of who we do reach out to, because we are flesh, too. And even though you love Nathaniel don't have the answers to everything. Look at Nathaniel is human just like we are. He walks down the wrong pathway. He gets distracted by things in life just like we do. We can bounce stuff off of each other. And we're good to do that. Me and your dad does that. Me and LaMeca, me and Titiana, it's real good just kind of bouncing things off of each other. But, you know, as much as Titiana loves me, you know, she's got her own things that she's going through and don't understand. Sometimes I can walk, and my big thing, if I'm getting ready to take a picture of you, if I see that you got something on you or your shirt is all lopsided, before I take that picture, I'm just going to walk up and just kind of straighten it up or get that off of you right there. You got some on your face. Are your hair sticking up on one side? You know, I'm going to kind of just pull your hair down a little bit up here or something. Well, Tatiana, as much as she loves me, just take the picture. Just take the picture. You don't know you jacked up until you see the picture. You don't know that it was something in your teeth until you see the picture. So things like that. So even though the people that you name love you, sometimes they want to correct you even though they know that it's wrong, that you're going to get in trouble down the line. Even sometimes, I know that you're lying. But I just say, you know what? God get them. Straighten them out down the line. But it's certain things that we have to know when we really want to be understood. Are they going to tell me what I really need to hear, or are they going to just tell me what I want to hear?
Okay.
Like so many times when you're dating somebody, they know that they're really not in love with you. But it's something that you got that they want, either that a ride in your car or just to be known to be with you.
Your body.
You know, so they will say anything that they think you want to hear. And remember, Satan don't have any new tricks. He just uses new faces. So he'll say, if it worked on saying that to him, say it to this one too. Say it to this person too. And so you'll find guys that'll go around telling the same story to all kind of different girls, or girls will go tell the same stories to guys. You know, I love you. Now I want to be with you. You know, no, I'm not with you just because you're an NBA player and you got this money, you know. So the thing is, if you truly love and looking for hope and understanding, you've got to just make yourself clear to God, and you've got to open yourself up and say, God, I have a problem hearing. I'm not hearing from you right now. I want to hear from you. I need directions on which way I need to go here. I can pass that off on my loved ones, or I got prayer partners I can pass things off on, but I have to go to God and say, God, just... And sometimes we say, why God didn't tell me that now? Why did I have to go through all this? And God is like, I'm speaking every moment of the day to you. But we're not hearing. Because in our minds, when we're trying to hear from God, the enemy will start putting other things on our minds right then. He'll put something else. Look for here for a job. Look for there for a job. Look for here for a lover. Look for here for a wife. Look here, look here. And anytime we do that, we can hear from God, because he said, don't blame it on me. It is right here. He said, some things you're just not ready to hear. So some things, I just got you in the waiting room. You're the one in there running around, walking around, banging your head on the wall. But I have you in that waiting room for a reason. But we have to know, reach out for our help, our hope, our understanding. It has to come from God first. Hallelujah.
Right.
Let's talk about friends real quick here. We got like 17 minutes left. And if after our 2 minutes here, I remind anyone to please go back into the archives and record the message, come and join us on next Wednesday. But we're here. So let's continue on. We have like 16 minutes left. Our friends. How do you choose your friends, Jen?
First, see if they have if they match my vibe.
If they what?
If they match me, they have the energy. First, I gotta see if they believe in Jesus.
James, how often have you asked somebody you met and y'all kind of getting cool or something, kind of talking? Do you ask them, do you believe in Jesus?
I'd be like, first I get to know them, and then I'd be like, so, like, do you believe in Jesus or like, something like that? Like, are you a follower in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to church?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go to church. Yeah. And even, you know, and it's so good to go into church, but we are the church. Remember that, too. So it's more important for the first part of the question is, do you believe, are you a Christ follower? Do you believe in Jesus? Because people, it's people in the church, they still don't believe in Jesus. It's people in the church that they say, oh, I believe in a God, but they just feel, oh, it's some mythical things, person somewhere, and they don't believe in the creation of God. And so going into the church, the enemy has his people in the church too. So do you believe in God? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Jesus Christ to come and live inside of you? So, yeah, how do you choose your friends, Janelle?
When I choose my friends, I definitely choose them by the people that are, you know, maybe more familiar to me and, like, act like me and have, like, the same attitude as me. And definitely the same beliefs as me sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
By meaning sometimes I do have an issue. Sometimes I make friends with people who are not believers in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I attempt to, you know, bring the word into their life and, like, talk about God, talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them do say they believe, and some others say they don't.
But yeah. The way they really act, they don't seem like they do.
Yeah, yeah.
They say they do, but mm-hmm. they don't.
That's right, that's right.
And they say they don't. And sometimes I have to learn to distance myself from those people because they could put things in my mind and throw mm-hmm. me off a track from how I'm doing.
There you go. That's exactly it. Because, you know, Jesus just didn't preach to the people that were already believers. No, he spoke and he preached and he taught to the ones that were non-believers. So when you meet people who are non-believers, it's okay because the belief inside of us is not our word. It's not our thoughts. God said, my thoughts is much higher than your thoughts. You can't even think like me. It's not my thoughts. But what's inside of me, the Bible inside of me, I'm supposed to be able to give them examples of why, girl, why you shouldn't lie about this here. What does the Bible say about stealing? What does the Bible say? What does God himself say about fornication, which is having sex before you're in a marriage? What does God say about adultery in a marriage, but you're having 3 and 4 girlfriends, 4 and 5 wives? What does God say about these things? And so if we don't know what God says about the word, it's hard for us. We get stumbled up when they ask us questions. I haven't read the word myself. I don't know, but I know the Bible says something. But what you can say is, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find that answer for you. I don't have it right now. I'm going to put that answer right here in the little parking lot on my brain, and I'm going to get that answer, and I'm going to come back to you. And always come back. Always come back to them. So you can come, you can ask, you can look it up yourself, you can ask the ones that do know, and then you can put it on an index card. I mean, you ain't even got to start another conversation. But when you see them, hey, I want to give this here to you, you can hand it to them and keep on walking. They're going to read, here's the word of God about what this here says. And always put another number, a number to a group like this that they can come and join in on Wednesdays for questions for someone who's more experienced, or they can come on Sunday night to my church service. They can call into that number, get answers, get believers, whatever it is. Put some kind of resource on there, because if they have that question, they're going to have another question. And if we don't answer it, somebody out here in the world that has been sent from Satan is going to be the one who answers it. And he's going to tell them the wrong thing. Yes, go on out there and sell your body. Go right out there and, you know, do whatever it is that is against the word of God. So we have to make sure that we have the resources, God's resources. He said, study to show that you are worthy of my word. And so that's how we do, by studying the word of God. And now the enemy will tell you, oh, it's hard to understand the Bible. And you just turn around and tell him, and by the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you are a liar. We already identified. He's the father of lies. He can't tell the truth. You are a liar. So I resist you. Now you must flee. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, by the blood that Jesus shed as he was whipped, and all the blood, his blood covered our sins. Why are we living in sins? Why do we have to meet God one day, repent of some sins, when Jesus has already covered all of our sins in blood? All we got to do is come to him and open our mouth and get it out of us, repent it, and give it over to him. And so we tell him, by the blood of Jesus, I resist you, enemy, and you must flee. And he has to get rid of it. He'll run down the street, but he'll come back around the building, and he'll come back in your ear again and see if you still believe that. Now, do you still believe that? Let me say it again. When you start to think about it, you know, he's came back. So again, God, you guard of what I hear and what has to come in one ear and go out the other one. Satan, I resist you. In Jesus' name, you must flee. He's got to flee again. But again, here you come back in. If it's some, you're trying not to have sex, here come this little dude looking good. He all bust up with oil this time. He come up looking at you. Be like, oh my God, here he is again. Look, look, dude, I told you. Look, girl, I don't care how short you're. Skirt is, or your shorts are, or your boobs are. I don't care. Well, I hope the boobs ain't short, but either way, you know, I'm saying, we got that he will come back with whatever you like. That's what he's going to come. He's not going to bring some little fat, chubby little dude up to you because that may not be what you like. He's going to bring exactly what you like, exactly what you like, exactly what I like. Amen. So we have to be wise in our friendships, take our friendships before the Lord, and if they become our friends, we need to call their name out in prayer. Whenever we're friends, call their name out in prayer. Do you think your friends are good for you? That is one of the things that we would have to discover when we choose our friends, and then we become friends, and we start to hang out, and you start to see, this person really good for me. Like Jane said, they say that they love the Lord. And we were getting along good. At first, we got things in common. He said, they keep up with my energy. I love that. But then you get to hanging out, and you'd be like, is this really my energy they're keeping up with? They got some strange ideas, and they've got some strange ways about them. So we have to look and see, are our friends good for us? And again, like you said, do your friends believe in Jesus? Very important. Have you ever started out being friends with someone and then later the friendship just kind of ended?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
Talk about that for a moment.
So his teammate actually, we're best friends.
Speak up so they can hear you.
We were best friends at the start of sixth grade, and we found each other. We started talking. We were best friends playing games together, and he got his little girlfriend and stuff, and since he has his girlfriend, he's been a little older. She's found his way to be a little more ignorant and not talking.
I didn't hear the last part of it.
I just ended things on him, and I didn't want to be friends with him.
Yeah. What about you, Janelle? Started out being friends with someone and later the friendship ended?
Yes. I was friends with a girl, and I later figured out because we were friends too quick. And I later found things out about her, that she's like drama hungry and she loves to fight. And we still have class together, and I watch her. And I watch her gossip, and I watch her talk about fighting. And she's even tried to start a fight with me, and a lot of drama came to me where I even had to go to, like, the office to, like, try and cut it off. Because then it had all her friends around the school trying to fight me, so.
Yeah.
It was hard to get rumors to die down. And, yes, it was just a lot. So, yes, I ended things with her, and we don't talk.
Yeah. Misery loves company. Misery loves company. And when they figure out that you're not going to be hanging in their little dead pool or in that pool of lies, or you're not going to be in that negative gossip pool, and then the enemy say, well, look and see who's following you. Huh, Janelle's not following you. So turn back against her, you know? I've been that. I remember in high school, it was a situation, it seemed like it was something a little petty. I can't remember what it was, but it just started some little silly stuff. And even those that I thought that was supposed that would have been in my corner, I felt like, and I was a senior, I felt like that everyone had turned against. And I was like, you know what? Now, I was in one room one day, and they all kind of confronted, yeah, because they said, you said, and da-da-da-da-da, and it was a lot of junk like that. And I remember thinking, my first instinct was, I can get up and start fighting and just start knocking people out. I got to fight all of them because every one of them seems no one's standing up for me. Or you know what? I can just stand up and tell them, you can believe what you want to believe. Even if I beat you up today, it's not going to change you from thinking the way you think. You can get up tomorrow and tell another lie. What are we going to do, fight again tomorrow? You know what? My word is enough. I know who I am. Right. I know what I said. And I am more mature than any of you all. I noticed that. I am way more mature than any of you all. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to leave all y'all in here by yourself, and I'm going to go out. I went outside and stood outside and waited on the bus instead of standing in that bus room. And when I got outside, the Holy Spirit just started laughing inside of me. I just started laughing just like, oh, wow, I actually just walked away from them. I didn't decide to stay in there and try to convince them that I didn't say this. And, well, who said it? Where did it start? Forget all of that. I went about my way. And the next day, you can believe, there was many of them. Hey, how you doing, Vaughn? Oh, hey, how you doing? And I just kept on going. They waiting on me to stop and talk to them. I'm like, no, I'm not stopping to talk to you. You were sitting right in there with the rest of them yesterday. You didn't stick up and say anything to me when you knew the truth. No. So it just shows you. It's just like
a fake.
A lot of sheep running around. But it's a wolf that is put on a sheep costume, the Bible says. And so they're wolves and they're dressed up in sheep clothing. And so you think they're gentle little sheep, but this is a big bad wolf ready to tear you up. And so all those people I thought associated with me because they were wanted to be my friend, a lot of them was not. They were wolves just dressed up in sheep's clothing. And so, yeah, they would turn against you and try to pull you down. And it's hard to get that rumor to die down or that lie to be turned around into a truth. So don't try it. I give that to God, too. God, here's the lie. You know what's going on. Here's my heart. I did what you asked me to do. I walked out of that situation, and now I ask you to bring me out of that situation. And it did. It worked. Every one of them. I don't know what they're doing today, but I'll tell you one thing. It was later on this time. They would see me. They would always be the one to speak. Hey, and I speak. Hey, how you doing? But I keep right on going. I see where it's coming from. Amen. All right. We have one last one, and we're going to end. How many best friends do you have, Jane?
Ooh. I have one. His name is Jordan. He said on my basketball team last year. Not playing on his team. I have two. His name is Brayden. Played on my team last year. And
Everyone is on my days. We play games together. Number four, my uncle is my best friend. Five, all my cousins on my best friend. All right. Which uncle? Uncle James. Uncle Luther. Uncle Derek. Yeah, they're best friend. Do they call and keep up with you? Do they da-da-da? But I understand what you're saying, you know. Best friend is there through thick and thin, and you're right. If James is still here, you're right. You think that's your dad. You think you have two dads.
And Nate is awesome.
Yeah, okay. So if Nate's your best friend, you should listen to him when he's trying to give you some advice sometimes, you know? Yeah. Janelle, who's your best friend?
Number one, Nathan Rodunich.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Jamila Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Addison, not saying the last name because
mm-hmm.
I don't record it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then number four is Papik. We went to school together, and we've done a lot together, and we've been through a lot together.
Yeah.
And
what was his name?
Papik. The one that was out there sitting with me, remember?
Oh, the one you went on the date with?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, all right, all right. Yeah. Oh, my God, this has been so much fun, so much fun. I tell you, next week we're going to talk about a lot of different things. I want you all to think of your subjects just like you did this week. You come with your questions that you want us to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about next week, about just the different locations, like living in New York,
yes,
living in New Jersey versus living here.
Yes.
And some of the difference in the school life in New York than in New Jersey and here. I want us to talk about that and just touch a little basis on how it was, you know, doing a school year there and coming back here and doing two school years, a school year there. I want to talk a little bit about that so we can get a feel of, you know, where it was, because I know for sure if you were still in New York, you would have, life would totally be different.
Mm-hmm.
And peer pressure there has got to be totally different here. And so it's much easier to get into the mess there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so God knows where he needed you to be. And so we thank God for that. All right. We're going to close out in prayer. We thank you, dear Father, for this opportunity to come together, to learn together, to speak of your truth, to speak of your word. We ask blessings over this family, dear Father, and everything that they have poured out, the goodness they've poured out. Dear Father, we thank you, dear Father, and may it continue to breathe and be with us and around us and may no retaliation come against them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. Amen. Amen. Say good night, guys.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.